Ndị Igbo ndewo. Afọ mbụ ike mefu na-ene mkpali. N'aha ụmụ Igbo Unite Austin Chapter, achọrọ m ịnabata unu n'ihe anyị na-eme taa. Ihe a bụ Level Up Podcast. Ihe anyị na-efu maka ya bụ ọganihu ndị Igbo. Ihe anyị ga na-emezi bụ a ga na-akpọta ndị na-eme ọfụma n'ọla ha. Akọọla ha siri ike. Ị na-aghọta? So anyị ga na-akpọta ha, ga na-akọwara anyị etu ha si wee bido, etu ha si wee ruo ebe ha nọzi kịta. Ị na-aghọta? Ọ bụ ike bụ onye ka na-ebinyite ebinyite n'ọrụ gị, ka ọ itinye gị aka na-emezi ya kịta. O nwere ihe o mee. Ihe achọm ka unu mee, achọm ka unu bute oche kpọkịta ya nso. Ịnụgo ka anyị chaa niile mụta. Ọyawa. So onye mkpọta kịta bụ Maazị Bryson Tucker. So for those who didn't really hear me, I want to welcome everybody to the Level Up Podcast, okay? I'm very, very excited and humbled to have this, and I'm very humbled to have a friend and a mentor of mine's here with me. So today we got Bryson Tucker with us. He's the owner and founder of Sacrifice Training, and he's basically going to talk to us about how he opened his gym up and basically created his own culture within his gym. Like I said, my name is IK. I'm the president of UIU Austin Chapter. And basically our mission is to improve the quality of life in the Igbo land of Nigeria. We don't charge a dime for this show. We're not making any money from the show. We're a nonprofit organization. But the way you can pay it forward for us is if you get value today, I want you to tell a friend, tag a friend, hit the share button, hit the like button, comment below, and just basically comment saying that you learned something. This is a live show, so we're going live on IG. So if you have any questions for Bryson, post it here on the IG Live. You can connect with us on IG at UIU Austin. You connect with us on Facebook at UIU Austin too as well. So with further ado, we got Bryson Tucker.
What's greet going the people. On, y'all? Indibo, Indewo.
Okome. So We're gonna jump right into it, Bryson. We're gonna jump right into it, and I call him Tuck. So you might hear me call him Tuck in between. I call him Tuck. He go by Tuck, but Bryson's his name, right? So, talk to us about what got you into the training industry, the personal training industry. What got you into it?
Yeah. So, growing up, you know, played sports all my life. Yeah. So, you know that kind of that work ethic or that mentality of always training, always having that physical training aspect, mm-hmm. Being a part of my life has been there since I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fast forward to college, man, I kind of came up with the brand of Sacrifice Training in college, and the logo just really randomly, man, just thinking about my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say I was a pretty good athlete.
Yeah,
played a lot of different positions, and I played quarterback. I played running back. You know, I would play corner. Then I got to college, and I was starting at corner my first game my freshman year. But then sophomore year, I was playing safety, and then it kind of was moving me around. And I had personal goals, uh-huh. like to move on to the league. Even coming from a smaller school, like I was like, I need stats mm-hmm. to move up.
Yeah,
you know, to be seen, those accolades.
Yeah,
and I knew it would be tough to do that if they switch my position all the time. But what I found myself doing is, in a way, kind of sacrificing my personal goals for the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm also a spiritual person. You know, so I keep all of that stuff together. You know, sports and athletics and my personal life and my spirituality is all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, you know, kind of having a conversation with my coach about switching positions, but things ended up working out. They did, and I was still first-team All-American, even though I switched positions. That mm-hmm. was one of my goals. Like, I need to be first-team All-American coming from a small school, but I was still making sacrifices for the team. And so one day, you know, I was just kind of in the bed and just kind of chilling and was like, man, like, just talking to God, man, and just like, what will I give up for God?
Right.
And so that's where my logo came.
That's a deep question. That's a deep question.
Yeah, it was. I was in a deep place.
Right.
You know, I had like a minor injury. you know how it is when you're an athlete. You done been through the injuries. I had an injury that they held me down for like 2 weeks, and I was in the room in the dorm like, man, what's going on? What is God kind of trying to tell me?
Right.
And so, you know, I just came up with this motto, you know, what will you sacrifice to be great? This slogan, this culture, this idea, you know, to bring the light in. That's when I held the logo up, you know, the football in the air, and basically, mm-hmm. like, I'm willing to give up football for however, you know, God wants to lead me. Mm. And that's kind of how that came to. And then after I got, you know, released from the CFL with the Calgary Stampeders, I started training. Still, my logo came to life, and things just kind of took off, man. Met some of my best friends now, some mm-hmm. great mentors, and just started training, and one thing led to another, and just business kind of just grew.
Yeah. So let's backtrack. So you went to, what high school did you go to?
Caldwell High School.
In Caldwell, Texas,
yes,
right?
Yes, Caldwell, right outside Bryan College Station.
Small school?
3A. At the time, it was 3A. Now it would be considered a 4A.
Okay.
Yeah.
From Caldwell, you went over and played at
Mary Harden Baylor.
And were you a guy that had lots of offers, lots of opportunities to go wherever you wanted in the country?
You know, I didn't, man. Story is crazy. I mean, in high school, man, I was getting recruited by Texas A&M, UTEP, North Texas, you know, some of the, you know, some pretty big schools, you know. And junior year, I had an ACL tear. My junior year, and they were still recruiting me pretty heavy, and I kind of had brushed everybody off. You know, it was really, I wanted to go to A&M, you know, mm-hmm. at the time. That was the school, you know, my dad always wanted to go to. That was right in our back door, you know, mm-hmm. in our backyard, and they would recruit me. And so, shoot, I was like, I'm going to go there. And once I had the ACL tear, mm-hmm. my junior year, they were still, you know what I'm saying, still treating me nice, still giving, yeah. you know what I'm saying, giving me visits and bringing me in. You yeah. know, I've had meetings with Franchione, all of them.
Yeah.
Then I'll never forget a game against Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M told me they were going to offer another athlete, guy that played multiple positions, from Lufkin.
Okay.
And they ended up offering that kid. And if he didn't take it, it would be my offer right there that day.
Right.
Me and my dad standing there. And he committed. He committed that day. And then, you know, that's how business is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I moved on. And then I had nowhere to fall, nothing to fall back on but UMHB.
Okay.
And shout out to Coach George for staying on me and recruiting
me. That's how it is, brother.
At UMHB, because I'm going to be honest with you, man. When they used to come to the school, I didn't even want to talk to UMHB.
Yeah.
I had so much stuff from A&M, and I was going, you know what I'm saying, getting treated like A&M was treating me. Why would I go D3?
Right.
You know, right. I'm going to go play in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And so
That's a similar story to mine, too. I mean, on signing day, for those that I went to play, I played ball at Louisiana Tech University. On signing day, a few schools, A&M included, Baylor and Oak State, they told me to hold out. And if another guy from a different school did not sign, that they was going to sign me.
Wow.
You know, on signing day, actually. And as a kid, you know, wanting to play that top D1 school, it's enticing, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I entertained it for about 2 seconds. I told my dad I entertained it for about 2 seconds. My dad just slapped me. You know, he got
down,
me straight.
Yeah.
He shut it down. He said, yeah. Go with somebody who wants you.
Yes.
There's nothing like going where you're wanted. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's nothing like that. So you get to UMHB. You had a great career at UMHB. Then you went over and you played pro ball in the CFL, correct?
Right.
So now, there's an interesting article about you I read about you while you were still in the CFL, about being an underdog and how you've had that mindset and that chip on your shoulder since your humble beginnings. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you get up to playing on another level, you know, professionally, and, you know, the guys talk. You know, I'm sitting beside guys that played at University of Tennessee, you know, the starting linebacker. I'm going up against him. He started at Alabama, you know. So we having these conversations. They're like, Mary Harden Baylor, like, what is that?
Right.
And I was like, you know, that's a school in Texas, you know, right. a college in Texas. Like, man, like, you know, why didn't you go such and such? I was like, well, you know, things happen. And it takes us a lot of athletes, you know, in situations, everybody's situation is different. But, you know, before that, getting to that point, my dad, man, just working out and training with my dad and him being my coach, like, I felt like I've always had to have this chip on my shoulder for whatever reason to prove that I belong. And then, you know, I didn't play football till high school. So I just played baseball and basketball. So, you know, once I got to, you know, to football, being a 5'9 quarterback is not traditional.
No, it's not.
So, you know, you want to talk about being undersized.
Yeah.
So, you know, then, you know, go to college and then it's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
You know, you got corners that are 6'1", you know, running backs are 6'2", 220. You know, you just got – it's a totally different ballgame. So, you know, I guess the environment and the culture that I'm just – sometimes I would like to say that it was the culture that made me have the chip on my shoulder, but what I realized – is that I think I create this culture inside myself so that I perform and respond a certain way.
Right.
Like, I'll create this, almost like this animosity inside. Like, man, they down or they don't believe I can. Or I feel like people don't think I belong.
Yeah.
So I just, I don't know, maybe this internal drive or culture that I create that might not even really exist. That I created myself to make sure that I push and, you know, that I you know, succeed or hit my goal or do whatever the case, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely that pressure you put on yourself, you know. You have high expectations for yourself, but I think it's a healthy kind of pressure. You know, I was talking with Henry, somebody that you work with yesterday, and I was talking with him yesterday, and I was telling him that I always got to put pressure on myself. You know what I mean? I got to put pressure on myself. I'm in this office right now, you know. It doesn't come free. It's not free, but I need that pressure to push myself. So I think it's a healthy. So talking about, so you get to the CFL, you know, had some injuries, came back. So what's the first, like, how did you get to where you're at right now in sacrifice training? I know you said talk to me about the transition from athlete to now getting into the business industry, the fitness industry.
So My major is in sport management.
Okay.
Which is in...
Do you think, I don't mean to cut you off, do you think that somebody needs to get a degree in that field to be in this industry?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't. But I was in college, so I have mine. But I don't think that you need to have your degree to do what I do, not even at this level.
Okay.
How we got into it, man, when I got released, I'll just kind of take you through, like, the meat of the real, like, the details.
Okay. It's
basically, I got cut, walked down the street to Gold's Gym to get a gym membership here in Round Rock so I could train.
Okay.
To go back.
Okay.
So I walk in, I'm getting ready to get a membership. A guy asked me just asking me about what my occupation was or what I just was doing. So I told him, he was like, man, you should train here while you it just makes a little money while you training to go back. And I was like, well, I don't know. I could be gone next week. I don't know my situation. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You gone next week, you could be here for a year.
Right.
So I got the job. I ended up like, man, okay, I'll train. This is what I want to do when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a little backstory on that is I felt like I needed to make it all the way in football. I needed to have this long tenure, you know, this career before I began my brand and my business.
Mm-hmm.
I thought football was first.
Yeah.
But so I started working, man, and started training and started production on my shirts.
Okay.
Started making, you know what I'm saying, sacrifice training shirts. And, you know, a lot of people were asking about them and buying them. People were just, I was like, it was you. At some point, sometimes you see more sacrifice training shirts than you saw Gold's Gym shirts in Gold's Gym. People just buying the shirts because they like the idea. They like that motto, what will you sacrifice to be great?
Right.
So I'm there training, and I start, you know, doing a little training for athletes, you know, on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And that began to grow. And it got to a point where the hours outside, like I was working 7 days a week.
Okay.
Like I was training on Sundays after church. I get out of church, I go train from almost 1 to 7 on Sundays.
Training yourself or you training people?
Other people on Sundays.
Training other people? Okay.
And I was still training for football all throughout the week, 5 a.m. workouts.
Right.
You know, been working out at 5 a.m. probably from 06 through 2015. So that was just a part of my routine.
Right.
Still training for mine, 5 a.m., work, and train the athletes.
Wow.
So, you know, you kind of, you have to live that. You know,
yeah.
you know, if that's your brand, and that needs to be something that you live by and people see that you actually live by that, I think people, you know, they'll find value in your vision if they see you living it.
Most definitely, most definitely. So, with a regimen like that and a schedule like that, you're obviously going to get better at what you're doing. So kind of tell us where you got your education from. Where did you learn? How did you learn how to train people in fitness and the anatomy of the body?
Yeah, so a lot of that came from me just all of my free time just studying.
Okay.
Like, other than training, you learn a lot when you train yourself.
Right.
But you don't really understand how to regurgitate that information sometimes, especially when you do something at a high level. You know, great athlete, you're a professional football player, you might not always be able to regurgitate how you were able to do something.
Yeah, I struggle with that.
To make someone else be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? That sometimes that's tough. So I began to watch some of the trainers at Goals. There were like one or two really solid trainers that had been in the business for a long time that did really well with their communication. So they communicated very well. And so I picked that up. I picked that up, how well people communicated and how they were able to get other people to do the things that they were asking them.
Mm-hmm.
And just studying, man. Just studying, looking at different people in the industry that were doing things that I agreed with, because there's a lot of information out there.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I agreed with, you know, kind of their style and culture. I took that. And also my college off-season culture, that experience, you know, also played a part at UMHB, because our off-seasons are crazy.
Right.
And just that mentality that they take over there with being prepared.
But what if somebody doesn't have that background, right? Say somebody doesn't really have a sports background. Somebody doesn't really have college to fall back on. What kind of was there certain books that you read, programs, mentors, YouTube?
The first certification that I went through was through NCSF. It's the National Council of Strength and Fitness.
Okay.
I think that's a good, really good program, and we partner with them now just because I have a business now. So a lot of everyone that comes through the facility, that works at the facility, will go through them to get their first cert.
Okay.
I like this. They also have a strength coach certification there that has been certified to, like, so you can be a strength coach for a university.
Mm-hmm.
It's accredited, you know, and I have that certification as well. But man, if you don't have the background, my first suggestion would be to go and learn underneath someone. You need to go and, I mean, it doesn't matter how much you read, doesn't matter how much you watch or you see on YouTube, it is going to be tough to try to create or apply things that you just have read and you've never actually done it yourself. You need to go and be around someone.
Right.
So for instance, if you want to train athletes, then you need to go and be around athletes.
Right.
You need to go and be around someone who has a lot of experience training athletes,
mm-hmm.
so that you know not only how to train the athletes, but how to find, like, for instance, if there's an injury, how do you treat that? Because
mm-hmm.
to me, there's no way you should be training athletes if you don't have a plan for injured athletes.
Yeah.
What kind of modifications do you have for lack of range of motion? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, a lot of times, you know, reading the books, it might have A, B, C, you know what I'm saying, things lined out. But then you get in a workout and an athlete comes in, it's like, man, I got a tweak hip flexor today. But your whole workout has been on hip explosion.
Right.
What are you going to do now?
Right.
Give me 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I need to ride another. You need to be able to move on your feet. right. in this industry because, I mean, we train so many athletes weekly. Athlete after athlete, they're all going to have different issues. You might have a group of 10.
Right.
And, you know, one thing that I think we do really well about is when we get athletes, my first question is, how you feel? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
How you feel?
Yeah.
How your body feel? How you sleep last night? You know, talk to me. Is any pain? Right. How was the last workout we had? You know what I'm saying? Just so I'm always downloading that information mentally,
right.
Consciously, so that we can provide and make sure that we're giving the best tools for our athletes to succeed.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. We have a question. Don't want to get sidetracked, but somebody wants to know, what would you say is the best CPT certification program?
Yeah, so we started out with NCSF. That's the Certified Personal Trainer. There are a lot of good ones out there. You know, NASM is probably like the most popular one that you hear about. But I really like NCSF because Dave is like my point of contact. And when you need something, they hit you back. If you get in a certification or you don't really understand something and you reach out to them, they reach out back to you. You know, you get an email back from them guys really fast.
That's great.
The information for your first CPT, I felt like was very valuable. I liked the language. And I thought that the test wasn't just a blowover test. It was a hard enough test to where when you left, you felt like you knew some things so that you could start.
Right.
So if I was suggesting, I would say go to ncsf.org and do your first CPT with them.
Cool. That's great. So let's where we at? So let's talk about, we're still in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
What were some of your early struggles? Because, I mean, when did you leave Gold's Gym and made that transfer? And what were some of the early struggles in the beginning?
Yeah, so left Gold's Gym November 7, 2014.
Okay.
And it was because I had, you know, I guess business-wise, I was wrong for what I did. I'm going to just say that. I was wrong, but I knew that my growth would be hindered if I stayed. Mm. So what happened was I went on and did like a little soft opening on the side.
Okay.
You know, you're not supposed to do those things. And I was wrong, and I look back and I say I was wrong, but it was the right thing for me to do at the time.
Right.
I did a little soft opening for athletes. Let me take you back. So I met a lady named Alicia Friday. She wanted me to train her son. She was looking for someone to train her son, but she had been an owner of like 3 or 4 different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, you need to come over and see. I got space. I was like, okay, I'll come check out your space. She, at her business she owned, she had like 1,000 square feet of empty space. She wasn't doing anything with just concrete floor.
It's nice.
Yeah, she was like, you know, do you looking for a space? What's up? You still at Goals? What are you going to do?
Right.
Like off the bat.
Yeah.
And I was like,
she ain't playing with you, bro.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So what happened was, she was like, you know what? You need to have a soft opening. Let's just do it. I was
That's
what she said.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I'll plan it. She was like, nah, the date is going to be, what'd she say? No, take that back. My soft opening was on November 7th. I left November 14th. She said, the date's going to be November 7th. We're going to do your soft opening here.
Wow.
So I was like, whoa, okay, so I need to get some equipment.
Straight up?
I ain't got nothing.
Nothing, okay.
So I got a few bands.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And then a great creative mind on what I'm doing out at the field sometimes, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we don't need a whole bunch of equipment when you're at the field, when you're working on defensive back or receiver stuff. You know, it's a lot of skill set we teach.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, man, I did the soft opening. I came back to work. And Friday morning, November 14th, I'm done with my last session.
Uh-huh.
The new fitness manager, mind you, someone who has bought our shirts, everybody got them, management, everybody, called me in the office and was like, Tuck, They saying you either got to give up sacrifice training or, you need to give up sacrifice training if you want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know what the answer is, right?
Yeah.
He was like, I know what it is. I was like, man, you know, it was good, but I'm going to holler at y'all.
Yeah.
So literally, that was the conversation.
Right.
And I had just finished my morning client, and I walked out of Gold's Gym that day. And let me explain this. I've never felt so much weight lifted off my shoulders when I walked out of Gold's Gym that day. It was like something was sitting on me that I didn't realize that I had.
Right.
And I think I had been contemplating leaving for a year.
Right.
But I was trying to hold on while I was waiting on football.
Right.
I was waiting on football. Like, I'm going to just stay here until football take off. Then I'm going to start sacrifice training. That's after football. That's not in the line of how I got things working out.
Mm.
But God got, you know, God just, he has a sense of humor.
Right.
You know, you think you got stuff laid out, but you don't.
You don't. Man.
You know, I felt like I wasn't going to buy a Cadillac until football, but I bought a Cadillac 3 months after I got released.
Right.
So God was already kind of moving, like, you don't need football to get this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like I had football on a pedestal. That's why the logo means so much to me, because I had football up there like that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So anyways, man, I walked out of Goals, got on the phone, called my girl at the time, you know, my wife now.
Okay.
You know, my girlfriend then, and said, babe, I said, I just walked out of Gold's Gym. She was like, okay. I said, nah.
You understand?
I said, nah. Yeah. I said, I just walked out. I'm done with Gold's.
She was
like, she was like, where are you going? I said, I'm coming to the house. Got to the house. I opened the door. She was like, you good? I said, yeah. She came, gave me a hug. Never asked one question.
Yeah.
And so she might not really know, but that day, you know, that meant a lot to me that she trusts my decision making. And if she did doubt, she never let me feel it.
Right.
And she don't know what kind of, that put a battery in my back.
Straight up.
When I saw that.
Straight up.
When I saw that, I was like, okay.
It's go time.
Yeah. I basically created that schedule. So that 5 o'clock schedule, that schedule that I have now, I created that schedule. So when I left there, you know, I was already in Alicia Friday's place. We had did the soft opening at this point. Bro, I would get up. I would still work out at 5 a.m. And then I would be in the facility as if I had clients at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I had no clients.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I made the schedule that I wanted, and I literally walked that schedule through when I had nothing.
Yeah.
I had one client in the evenings at like 7 p.m.
Right.
When I left. And so call it what you want, but that schedule that I worked when I didn't have a client, when nobody was there, I got that schedule now plus, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I think it's important that when people are – when you jump off the cliff and you really, you know, trying to show that you had that faith, then the work behind that, it don't mean just you left. Now it's time to work. That's the faith. That's the faith.
Right.
But where's the work? Now, the work now is I'm still getting up at 5, no clients.
Right.
I'm still up here working 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, no clients. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Building that. So now that I have it.
Right.
It's crazy.
That is. That's deep. So, 6, 7, 8, 9, you weren't having no clients. Mm-hmm. Those were some of the struggles, but how did you overcome that? How did you start getting traction?
Yeah, so first off, I'll say that the quality of what you do is so important, because word of mouth, there's nothing better than word of mouth.
Mm.
So those few athletes that I was training, you know, when I was at Gold's,
mm-hmm.
you know, I began to reach back out, you know, to people that I was training, you know, and tell them, hey, you know, this is what the situation is. This is where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And you lean on those on people that you meet and you have relationships with, and you ask. Mm-hmm. You ask, hey, I'm over here now. This is what's going on. I got a group starting on such and such. Here are the prices. Here are the days, man. I love to see y'all out. And from that quality, people will refer you. You know what I'm saying? You have quality product. People will refer you, and they'll share, you know. And then other people see your product in people, and then they ask, mm-hmm. you know, where have you been training, you know. And so initially, man, it was through me going back through and reaching out to past relationships, mm-hmm. And I can't leave out prayer. Boy, I was praying like no other mm-hmm. During that time, because I felt like I began to meet the right families and people that just kept on referring, and a lot of it has to do with the quality.
Right.
You know, you get one and you give that quality like no other, and I think that when you have a product like that, I think. People will come,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just have to be persistent in that. And then I'm going to tell you the other biggest challenge that a lot of people might face, not only in this industry, but anytime you want to be an entrepreneur, is that when you think you have a vision for your business and your product, other people will think that they have a better vision for your business.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
You're going to run into friends, strangers, sometimes even mentors that you respect, but when it's your business, you have to be able to tell people no, and this is my vision. We're not doing that. This is what we're going to do, and then you have to go and execute. Because, man, I can't tell you how many times in the beginning, one of them is Alicia. Mm-hmm. You know, she like my second mom.
Right.
You know, she has been so transparent with her business journey.
Right.
It's helped me out so much. I wouldn't be here today without Alicia.
Okay.
And she offered, you know, some advice sometimes. She's like, you know, why isn't the place full? You know, she's straight up full. You need to have this place packed. Why don't you start a dance class? No.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Right.
Why don't you have a little boot camp? That's not me.
Right.
You know, Zumba, that's not me.
Exactly.
Kept on. Well, right now, I'm willing to sacrifice those dollars for my culture.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I'm willing to say no because, yeah, you might have 30, 40, 50 people in here for this boot camp or this Zumba class, but that's not me and that's not the culture and that's not my vision for us going forward. So I don't want to do it now.
Right.
Because I know once you open those floodgates, then when will you be able to get it back?
Right.
So I'm willing to sacrifice some dollars right now and just kind of eat it until I can slowly build the building, you know, those building blocks up mm-hmm. so that it provides what I wanted to provide, how I wanted to provide, and when I wanted to provide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So I'm going to tell you, that is probably one of the biggest struggles.
Right.
Of being an entrepreneur is staying in line with your vision
mm-hmm.
and not being sidetracked by other people's ideas.
Right. Gotcha. So you let your vision and your culture drive.
Right.
Okay.
The business.
Yeah, that's great. So let's fast forward a little bit more, kind of seeing how you started and then how you got traction or whatnot. So you weren't from that. Are you still in that 1,000-square-foot place that you're in right now?
No.
Where you at? No. What's it looking like now?
So we now have 2 acres in Pflugerville mm. and a 6,400-square-foot facility on that 2 acres.
Beautiful. Yeah. How did you get that?
Yeah. So, boy, long. So I'll try to shorten this up. Basically, my business was beginning of to cannibalize. Mm. So 1,000 square feet was great, but it was starting to be too small. And so the classes were getting too big. It was just getting too packed. And we couldn't do the things that we needed to do at the size or the rate that we wanted to do it at that facility.
Right.
So I went to the bank. Showed them, man, I broke down some numbers. I came up with how much money we made per square foot of what I had and told him what I would do if I had six times that square foot, I would be able to do X, Y, Z.
Right.
So I broke it down.
Right.
It's like, per foot I got in my facility right now, I made $20 per foot per whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of get an idea. So I was like, took that to them, and they were like, I went to Chase. Mm-hmm. And they were like, basically like, we ain't making no money, basically.
Right.
Like, this, you're not ready yet.
Right.
So I was like, oh, wow. So Chase don't want my, y'all don't want my business, huh?
Right.
So then I didn't even have a place at the time. I was just looking.
Right.
You know, and there were a lot of places that were renting. They wanted to rent out a place for like $5,000 a month. You know, it's over $60,000 a year. Over 5 years, you're paying somebody $300,000. It probably cost them $300,000 to build it. So I just didn't pay somebody else mortgage off. I just couldn't have the idea of paying that much, giving that much away.
Right.
So I was on my way to work one day, and right down the street, literally 3 minutes from my house at the time, I saw a property for sale. It's 2 acres. Had a little building in the back. I didn't even think we could use it. Looked like a little barn for like horses or something.
Right.
And I was like, I might check that out. So I called and then, you know, inquired about it, got the numbers, and went to another bank.
Right.
And got with my grandfather because I needed, you know, a co-signer, you know what I'm saying, on the property. This, you know, you talking about the property at the time was around they wanted 400,
mm-hmm.
400 for it.
You're right.
And if you know anything about business loans, you know, they want 20%.
20% down, huh?
Down payment.
Right, right.
So I went to my grandfather who owns an electric company. He's owned it for like 40 plus years. And I was like, so here's the deal. This is, you know, he's a numbers guy.
Yeah.
What do the numbers look like? What can you do? What have you done? You know, what does this look like?
Yeah.
So I went to him and just, man, I put it all out there. Mm-hmm. Told him what the business, what we did in the past, what it was looking like, what the bank was talking. And so he was going to be my co-signer and help me with my down payment.
Okay.
So at this point, I put an offer in on the house. On the property.
Okay.
You're talking about a week before I'm supposed to close.
Mm-hmm.
The bank comes back, tells me that I can't have a family member as a co-signer.
Mm.
Have you ever heard that before?
Mm-mm.
No. Who's usually your co-signer?
Family. Members.
Okay. Yeah. So we're not even going to get into that.
Right.
But I called my grandfather, told him what the deal was, and he was like, man, you need to go try this other bank. This is who I bank with back at home. See if there's a branch there. So, man, another shout out to Brent Weber at Prosperity Bank. If y'all need a business loan, you're trying to start something up, man, Brent will go. He will listen,
mm-hmm.
and he's very economical. If it don't make sense, you know, he's going to tell you.
Okay.
But he came through in the clutch for us.
Right.
I called him just going off about what happened to me with the other bank.
Straight up.
And he listened. He listened to everything I had to say. Mind you, found out he's the vice president of the region.
Okay.
So it's not even somebody that just need to be listening to somebody venting like that on the phone. You know what I'm saying? He makes decisions.
Yeah.
So, man, it was a complete blessing to get him on the phone and just vent. And he came through.
Okay.
And allowed my grandfather to be my co-signer. And we worked the numbers, man, and bought the property.
Right.
And renovated the facility. And It was a grind, bro.
Yeah.
There was a double wide on the property. The back, there was a barn that was about 4,000 square foot, open, no walls on some sides, chickens, pigs in there.
Yeah.
Half of it was concrete, half of it was dirt.
Right.
Man, we went through it.
Yeah.
We went through it, bro. Yeah. Me and Ian, at the time, it was just me and Eric.
Yeah.
And We would work. We would be training in the morning, 6, 7, 8, 9. We bought the property in March of 2016. And then we'd leave there at 9, 10, go to the property and work, picking up cinder blocks, sun, hot, for hours. We were out there working on the property, farmland.
Right.
Cleaning the property off until the evening, 4, back to training our clients, 5, 6, 7, 8. We were doing that for months.
That is a grind. That's definitely a grind.
It was a grind, bro.
Man, so you used a business loan. So explain. So
yeah,
did you have an option to get a business line of credit versus a business loan, or
at the time it was either for me to go small business loan, like mm-hmm. the Small Business Association, go through the SBA,
mm-hmm.
or just get a traditional business loan?
Okay.
At the time, and so it wasn't they didn't offer me a line of credit because. You know, I don't know why I didn't really understand the line of credit back then, to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure if now when I look back, if they would have gave me the amount that I needed that for a line of credit.
Right. I got you.
But yeah, I was able to secure the loan, you know, with, you know, my grandfather co-signing for me, and
So Prosperity Bank was the one who loaned. What's the gentleman's name again?
Brent Weber.
Brent Weber. Is he still there?
Yes.
Still there? Prosperity Bank's nationwide, right?
Yes. Yes, they
are. Okay. So would you say that that's somebody that people can utilize, people can call on, Brent Weber?
Yeah.
At Prosperity Bank?
Yeah. Okay. I really do. I feel like that, and I feel like they are conservative because they're a smaller bank, but... Yeah. If it makes sense, you know, and the numbers line up, he's going to give you the best option,
right,
for your business,
right?
Yeah.
And from what I heard, I hear that small banks are more small banks are more given to small business owners versus the big national banks.
Yeah, because it's different, you know. You talk about Chase, you know, they're dealing with. Multi-million dollar, you know, companies, you know. So, yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, they are smaller. They're more conservative. So some things, they're a little slower to kind of jump out there on, like a line of credit. You might be able to fall back through with Chase,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they are such a big bank. That the line of credit, you know, once your business is up and running, that's something that you can go out. Now I have a line of credit with Chase, now a line of credit.
Right.
Now, I can go into why I ended up going back to them and taking that line of credit. Mm-hmm.
Numbers, probably.
Yeah, it made business sense.
Yeah.
For that, but for the loan, you know, it's going to be your Prosperity.
Okay.
It's going to be your, for me. Yeah. I feel like.
Okay. That's cool. So Sacrifice, tell me what would you classify your gyms? I know your training style, like what?
It's athletic performance.
Athletic performance.
Well, you can say human performance.
Okay, human performance. Okay. And what's the difference between that and what would we call CrossFit?
Yeah.
Strength and condition. What's the difference between all that?
Well, the difference between us and CrossFit is we don't incorporate any gymnastics in our programming.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one of our programs for the adults is called Ollie Fit. It's a strength and metabolic conditioning class.
Okay.
So it'll remind you of kind of off-season in ways, especially on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have, like, today you might have front squats, you know, 4 sets of 6 at 75 to 80%. Of your 1 rep max, you know, okay. Push press, you know, 4 sets of 6 at 75%, you know. So they're working off of percentages in that class all the time on strength days. There's no conditioning on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Okay.
You're working on form, technique, really getting the Olympic lifts down. And then Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays is a conditioning class. Kettlebell movements, sleds, turf on the field, running, maybe jump rope. But that's the program.
Okay.
But if you want to talk about holistic, like the whole gym, the difference between us and, you know, a lot of other places is it's not an open gym. You okay. can't just come and work out anytime. The only people that have access to open gym are our clients.
Okay.
And it's athletic performance, man. It's not specific to a sport. We teach kids how to move better mm-hmm. first so that they're healthy. And then, you know, we get kids faster, stronger, bigger, jump higher, you know, quicker. All the things, all of the tools that will assist them in being the best athlete that they can be in whatever sport they play.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know you said earlier that, you know, your gym is athletic performance. You had a couple of your mentors suggest incorporate Zumba, incorporate other different avenues. So let's say somebody is into Zumba. Yeah. Let's say somebody's into dance.
Yeah.
Would you say that there's a market for them to where they can open their gym to up as well?
Yeah.
And thrive?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I feel like here's the thing, like every market, it's 2019. The market that you get in is probably already saturated.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about that is that first, do people like you? People consume from people they like.
Mm-hmm.
So your likability is huge. Your delivery and your communication is also huge. If they like you, if you're able to communicate the things that you want to be executed and then show them that mm-hmm. they're executing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, the vision, then absolutely. You can start anything.
Right. So the wrong thing would be to incorporate everything. Say, like, we do everything. Jack all trades. We do everything.
I am not a believer in that.
Right.
I do not believe in saying everybody come. Because this is the way I feel about it. I'd rather be the heart surgeon than to be just your everyday doc. I'd rather be that knee specialist that only certain people, they're going to, because you know what happened? Mm-hmm. They're going to come, they're going to pay.
Right.
You're going to come and pay.
Right.
So I want to specialize. I want to specialize in that human performance so that, you know, when you come here, this is a specialty mm-hmm. and the expectations for that are going to be to pay.
Right.
You know, when you try to be a chameleon there, when you're trying to be a chameleon there and you're trying to offer so much to everybody, just because someone brings it up, you need to offer this, or you need to offer this, and you just start offering everything that everybody wants, then, like, what are you doing?
Right.
Do you own your business, or are the consumers are creating your culture,
mm-hmm.
and they're running the business?
Right. But I look at people like 24-Hour Fitness.
Yeah.
And I look at that and the way it's set up, and you can go there, you can get Zumba.
Yeah.
You can get all kinds of different classes, right?
Right.
All kinds of different stuff.
Right.
But it seems like they're in every single market across the nation.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I mean, they're thriving, obviously.
Who the owners of it are.
Yeah.
Maybe a few general managers uh-huh. are thriving. If you call thriving going to work with somebody else every single day.
Right.
Not saying that. My wife is a nurse practitioner. Your wife is a nurse.
You know?
My wife, she has a master's and about to be a nurse practitioner. She's going to go work for Scott & White, right?
Right.
But for me, if you want to be a business owner, mm-hmm. we're talking about business owners, right?
Right.
So we're talking about entrepreneurs, people that want to. So they're looking at 24. You're saying they're looking at 24 and they're saying, man, they're successful. They're able to offer all of this. You know, I think that there's a market for that for the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at a lot of now this is just going off the lifestyle that I want to live.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying?
There we go. Yeah.
Because I want to be able to specialize and train people that I want to train.
Right.
First, I put a lot of value in the quality of life and what I do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you find happiness in doing Zumba and doing boot camp and trying to train an athlete, trying to do that, not really specializing, then I'm not saying that that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that at the end of the day, if that's how you start and you get into that field, that's gonna dry up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that your ceiling, you're not gonna be. We're talking about entrepreneurs. You're not gonna be able to give that specialty price.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're starting a business like that, let's if you want to talk about the meat and potatoes of this, let's talk about your space.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of space do you have? 24-hour space?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're talking about 100,000 square foot facilities. Mm-hmm. You have that kind of space.
Right.
You know, that's tough.
Right.
So I think one of the things people got to think about is the ability to try to maximize their space in their specialty. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that the life that I want to live and what I do and the happiness that I find in doing what I do, mm-hmm, is in this. And then I know that people are going to pay for that specialty.
Right.
In athletic performance.
Right.
More than what they're going to pay for going to 24. And it shows. Mm-hmm. 24-hour, the membership's what, 20 or 30, 40 bucks?
Yeah, $40.
So $40 membership.
Mm-hmm.
And then
contract.
Yeah, how personal is it?
Not very personal at all.
So, you know, we touch.
Very corporate.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been in that industry. There's nothing wrong with starting in it to learn, you know, the behind the scenes. But, you know, our facility, you know, is, you know, we touch our people, like, every single day.
Okay.
You know, we know, you know, who our people are. We know their families, you know.
Right.
We know what people are going through. And so I put value in that.
That's great. So tell me, how does your organization look today, you know, as far as how many people are under you? Talk to us about, you know, how your organization is today.
Yeah, so organization-wise, we're an LLC, started out as a DBA back in 2014.
DBA stands for Doing Business As,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
And you don't have to start with an LLC, y'all. If you want to start your business, just go in business name. If you want to have something separate than your name, go get your DBA. You know, go down to the county office and get that done, and separate your funds.
Mm-hmm.
But we're an LLC now. We have three trainers that work at the facility.
Are they all certified?
Yes.
Okay.
So everyone's certified. Everyone has a CPT. Nutrition certifications and other specialty certifications like speed or change of direction or Olympic weightlifting. I'm working to get everyone also certified strength coach, the one that I have. That's my next plan, is to get everybody on that level.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, so I know you said you had three people under you. Is each person designated to a certain task?
Yeah, kind of. I can explain that. So everybody participates in OlliFit, which is the Olympic lifting program that we have for adults. Everyone teaches those classes. Not only so everyone can partake, but also so that you get practice on corrections.
Okay.
So, you know, you get practice every single day on teaching lifts and finding modifications. Just be honest about it. You know, your adults, the 40-year-old that comes in is going to have limitations and lots of different issues that you have to figure out how to modify in order for them to still succeed.
Right.
So they get a lot of practice every single day in that.
Okay.
And what that does is allow that to apply to the athletes when we get our athletes.
Okay.
So that's like, not that it's practice, but that's one of the big benefits of having an OlliFit class every day and having everyone a part of it.
Okay.
But outside of that, like Henry, he really focuses on the youth development. So he runs the youth development camps and groups. Eric, his focus for groups is on the middle school development.
Mm-hmm.
So when they leave Henry and they eventually graduate out of that, then they move to Eric, and then I deal with the high school athletes.
Okay.
And that's just kind of like how we have it set up. Not that if someone comes in for one-on-one training, that doesn't mean that Henry can't get a high school kid, you know, in one-on-one training. But because just depend, we all kind of delegate who we feel like could be a good fit, mm-hmm, you know, with who when it comes to one-on-one training. But when it comes to the programs, those are their focuses.
Okay.
And Haley focuses on the girl group. She deals with the middle school and the high school girls training, and Ollie Fit.
Right.
Yeah.
What has your team, right? What have they? What impact have they had on your business as far as growth? Because I know you started when you started. I think you said it was just you and Eric, right?
Yeah, it was just me for a little while. Just you, and then Eric came on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously, you need people to be able to grow, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So talk to us about how they were able to, I guess, have you multiply yourself.
Yeah.
Right. How were they able to help you multiply
yourself? Yeah. So. Me and Eric's been knowing each other since 2006, you know, like 13 years, I believe that is now. So,
Yeah. You
know, he was, you know, a great athlete as well. You know, he's All-American, you know, Eric's, you know, he can go. So knowing his background, me and him are brothers.
Right.
So we knew eventually he would come on, you know, so that was that.
Right.
Then Haley, she was actually a client of mine. I was helping her come back from an ACL injury.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, she came over as well, and she brought her mom.
Right.
It was a time where I was able to really look at their heart.
Right.
You know, so that's what made it easy for me to bring them on, you know, because I knew what kind of heart they had, and I knew what kind of passion they had for what they did.
Right.
And so that's how the staff came up. Now, how it's affected the business has been phenomenal.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you how important it is to have a good team.
Right.
Like, when it comes to the business of service, man, how many hours can I work before I'm capped out?
I know. Yeah.
How many hours? I mean, you're not going to be able to live, you know, certain way. If you have a certain idea of how you want to live, that's not realistic.
Like, me and Eric aren't the same trainers.
Right.
Haley, she doesn't train like us.
Right.
Henry doesn't train. None of us train the same, but we have the same message.
Mm-hmm.
And we also provide, we have the same mentality and culture in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's easy. That was one of the things that was easy for me to do. And it's been great to have them on the team. You want to talk numbers, you're talking about bringing in three times more, you know, year to year with building a team.
Right, right. That's critical. That's crucial.
Crazy,
that's
bro.
Crucial. So talk about how you're able, and well, not be careful how I phrase, but talk about how you're able to retain these people from the beginning to how you're able to retain these people as far as either monetarily or not your clients, your people, your employees,
because
it's really hard to retain employees.
Yeah.
So like, talk to us how you structure, and you don't have to get deep into details or whatnot,
yeah,
but just talk about if somebody was trying to start this, how can they structure, I guess, a pay structure?
Yeah.
You know,
so
what I mean?
So for our
industry, not hurting the pockets a lot.
Yeah. So in our industry, I'm gonna tell you, when I started out at Gold's Gym, I made 30% or 35%
of each client.
Of each client.
Okay. How much does each client pay?
So let's say if a client pays $100 for this session, I was only getting $35. The facility was getting $65.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So one thing that was important for me whenever I brought in the first three people,
mm-hmm,
that I knew that I could have a foundation of three trainers on, that eventually, you know, I would like to have up into, you know, facilitating or management kind of positions to help,
mm-hmm,
you know, run the business. But for me, it was important to give them a percentage that showed that I actually cared about their pockets.
Right.
Cared about their families.
Right.
You know, there's no way I would be able to start my facility or have them come on and give them 30%.
Right.
I just couldn't do that. Now, there are other places that do small bit. There are other gyms, small facilities that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Might pay 40%. But for me, that wasn't important. It was important for me to show them that. And then also, I was looking at the fact that I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. Right. I'm good with what I have in now. What I did was for my pillar member or members, but the staff, you know, Eric, Haley, and Henry was, so I'm going to give them 70%. Mm-hmm. So I flipped it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give each one of y'all 70% of everything, and the other 30% comes back to the facility.
Right.
So this right here immediately made it like, I can't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
This also shows that he really don't have to do this.
Really don't.
You know what
really
I'm saying?
Don't. Yeah.
And I don't think they owe me anything, mm-hmm. but I did want to provide some value in that because let's just be honest, why are we doing this? It's to make money.
Exactly.
People don't like to talk about, well, why are you doing this? It's because I have a passion. Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah. Passion is not going to pay the bills.
Don't pay the bills.
You know, so everybody's in it to make money.
Right.
And I want to help them make as much money as possible.
Right, right. But I mean, I like the way you started it. You first read them. You saw what kind of heart they had. You see if they align with your culture before you even bring them on. Once you brought them on, you give them you pay them something that they really can't just get somewhere else, right? Yeah. But on the flip side, let's get back to the business side. Do you require them to go out and bring business to you?
I still require them to get out into the community, mm-hmm. Be active on the social media. Mm-hmm. You still need to drive business. That's the whole point. Now we have the facility. You got everything you need.
Exactly.
We have the compensation model set. Now we need to drive business. Now exactly. I've done my part.
Yeah.
You know, now you have to go out and do your part. You know, that's where the work comes in again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Setting that schedule before you have it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I share that with them to make sure they understand, like, you have to set that schedule before you have it and go out and drive business.
How do you put that drive into them, into your employees? Like, because I mean, you're the driver of your business. Yeah. How are you able to put that drive into your employees for them to go out and drive business like you would?
So first, me, I always look at the numbers because numbers make a lot of sense to me. So I will break it down. Like, what's your goal? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know how much you need. It's going to get personal. I want to know how much you need to make it. I want to know how much you really want to make. Mm. How much do you want to make? Right. Like, we had those conversations. Like, right. Okay, you want to make $60,000 this year. This is, I break down every step of the way. You need to train this many. You need to average this many clients at this dollar amount weekly in order to make $60,000 at the end of the year.
Wow.
After your commission payout.
Right.
You know, so you might have to, I don't know what the numbers is. You might have to make $80,000 to make your $60,000.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? How much do you want to take home? So that's my first initial thing, is because finances drive me.
Right.
What I need to pay for, how I want to live. So that's important, mm-hmm. to me. So I'll provide that to them first.
Okay.
I don't know many people that's not motivated by money.
Yeah, yeah.
So, line those up. So if you do this XYZ, you're gonna make.
Right.
Then that's when it gets tricky sometimes when you're dealing with people, because somebody might not be as monetarily driven as you or some other staff.
Right.
So you have to find other ways to bring value to them. And so because being the leader, being the driver of the place, what are you doing? Where everybody else at?
Right.
They riding.
Yeah.
So usually you think about people that live these luxury lives, the driver is a servant. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, I'm serving. I'm mm-hmm. driving, but I'm the servant. I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, so I have to figure out ways to fuel or serve whatever it is that drives them. And it's not always money.
Right.
Sometimes most of the time it is, but you have to figure out if other things that they value in their life, like freedom.
Right.
Time, you mm-hmm. know, it might be very valuable to them. Not saying that they don't still drive business, but you got to figure it out.
Right.
You know, so you just have to dive in and get to know your staff and what really drive them. But some people like responsibility.
Right.
You know, it helps them feel like they're important and they're doing things that are really helping the business behind the scenes. You mm-hmm. know, it just depends.
Gotcha. That's real valuable, man. That's real valuable. Yeah. Let's get into a little bit about systems, right? Systems. Let's talk about, in order for you to drive, you got to get out there and market. What are some marketing that you will say is helping you in your business right now? And in your industry, you kind of see, you kind of see around in the industry, this is kind of some popular marketing people are doing.
So in the athletic, in the sports, performance, strength coach, workout era or realm, you have to be on social media.
Social media, yeah.
You have to.
Right.
If you train in athletes, the athletes are on social media. And my boy Kenton Keith, I don't know if y'all know. Do you know Ken? Ken played. He played for the Colts with Peyton, and he played in the CFL also. He's one of my partners out here, man. They have to introduce you to Kenton.
Yeah, I know.
But Kenton, one day I was training with him, man, getting ready to go. I had get ready to go to Florida for a workout, and he was like, "Man, you're not on where your Instagram at?" I was like, "Man, ain't got time for Instagram." And I was training myself, but I was also training athletes.
Yeah.
So I don't have time for Instagram. He's like, "Bro, you have to get on Instagram."
Right.
He was like, "You're not on Twitter?" I was like, "Nah." He was like, "Where you think the kids at?" I was like, "For the business, right?" He was like, "Bro, that's where you need to get on and do your marketing." So I was like, "Man, I do not have time. I'm not a type of person that's always posting and things like that on there." So I started an Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And started a Twitter. And, you know, you need to get on there. And this, and if you're working out or you're training, you want to get on there just to give people samples and kind of show them little highlights of what you do.
Right.
So that they can see it. So they can interact with it. And because these days, if it ain't on IG or Twitter, like, you're not really doing nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. And then I told you, like, word of mouth for us was huge. But what I realized, even for myself, was like, I never paid for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, you know, for the first 3 years of my business. We were doing fine. And what I realized, I started to see, like, a little bit of a little plateau.
Right, right,
it's like,
right.
Okay. So word of mouth has played out.
Right.
Not that it played out, but we ain't climbing like we were before.
Exactly.
So what I did was I not only got with the company that runs our POS and our customer management portal,
mm-hmm.
and I also, one of the biggest things that I did was get with Otomo Media,
mm-hmm.
and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I got with Otomo Media, I had got with our customer portal people to kind of see what they could do for my website,
mm-hmm.
you know, what y'all got. But then I backdoored, and well, I really had been working with Rome before, but it wasn't kind of official.
Mm-hmm.
And but once I got with Roman and Otomo Media, and we really kind of sat down and drew up a plan, it's made a difference, because with being a business owner, trying to run your social media, trying to drive business, trying to manage your team, trying to manage your household. You know, I have 2 acres.
Right.
So I have wild grass. I have turf outside. I have a fence. We have storms. I have a parking lot. So all of this stuff is kind of rolling around, man. And so to add Rome into the mix has taken another one of those big weights off of my back, just my shoulders, because I don't have to think about posting on social media, or I don't have to think about the marketing plan, the campaigns.
Right.
So he sat down and he built basically a proposal on what he could do. And so, you know, now we have campaigns that go out weekly,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather that's for Ollie Fit, rather it's for our athletes. We have posts almost every day, every other day. Roman's mind for what we needed to do, he saw a vision way before I saw it, because when I met Rome back in the gap when I was at Gold's Fit before I even left, he was telling me I needed to do information videos.
Mm-hmm.
You need to tell people how do you run faster? People want to know that.
I was like,
I don't want to do that. He kept telling me, you know what I'm saying? You need to do this. So next thing you know, we start putting together these little videos, these how-to videos on how to train athletes or what athletes need to do, because athletes are out there training like me, and you might not know what you need to do. You might not have the experience that I have, so you really don't have that competitive advantage.
Right.
So now you can go on, view things like that and have access to that.
Right.
And so, man, Rome geared that up, and, you know, he makes all of the edits and runs the YouTube mm-hmm. channel and page and post and all kinds of stuff. So,
right.
you know, Otomo Media has probably has been easily the biggest, like, change for the business in the last year.
Okay.
And that's taking stress off of my back and then just driving the marketing era to drive business to the website as prospects or driving people to interact with the business so we have the opportunity to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because without interaction, you know, you don't have anything.
Right, so. Right. So with all this stuff, what system do you have in place that helps you keep organized?
Yeah. So for clients and who comes as
clients and also business side, because an organized business is a profitable business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
what helps you keep organized with clients and with the business side?
Zen Planner, Google Sheets, and Google Docs.
I got Zen Planner.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you, Zen Planner, Google Sheets, and
Google
Docs.
And I say
Google Docs is fire.
Yeah, because I'm sharing, if I got an idea or we have some kind of, we have a list of something we need to work through as a staff, or if there's information I need to get out to them to share, I can type up a document,
mm-hmm.
share it with all of the staff. They can see it, make edits, or make suggestions and changes, and then we can move on.
And move on.
Just like that. That's shout out to Rome on that too, because
yeah.
he introduced that whole realm to me. I had
yeah.
Google Docs, Google Sheets.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
So simple, man. Simple but lean. That's
yeah.
simple but lean. That's how you kind of want to think, look at it, right? So let's talk about somebody who's up and coming. If you can start over again, let's go back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. If you can start over again, what would you do differently?
Man, it's hard. What would I do different?
What would you do differently? Just looking back.
All right. So if I could do anything different looking back, I might have, this is kind of interesting, I might have went more with what Rome was talking about on selling information
uh-huh.
than taking on. So, and I just say this, not that I don't appreciate the grind, because I appreciate the grind.
Yeah.
But when I look at the amount of effort, like, because right now what I'm trying to do is, right now we're going more, we still train face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
but we're setting up other systems to for automation, and we're setting up other systems so where the dollar amount that I make is not determined by the hours that I work.
Mm. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if we could go back, I would go more that model.
Okay.
Like right now, within the next month, you guys can expect something called Athletes Train Athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a program online. It's a subscription-based program online to where you'll be able to get on there and pay $9 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you have access to how we train our athletes, the,
mm-hmm.
the things that we have success with. How to train for speed, how to train for change of direction, how to jump higher, plyometrics, all of these things. You have access to hundreds of videos for $9 a month. And so if I could go back.
Is it on the website?
It's okay. online. So it's like you signing into your Netflix.
Okay. Man,
yeah.
I get it.
It's like Netflix.
Yeah, I get it.
Got different titles, you know, genres. You looking
uh-huh.
for horror, you looking for comedy, you looking
yeah.
for action. You know, it's the same way. Speed,
yeah.
change of direction, plyometrics.
Wow.
And so if I could go back,
uh-huh.
I might go information first and let that drive the income to have a brick and mortar.
Right.
But
right.
I value it. I own 2 acres now. Like that for me, that's so big to me.
Right.
To just
right.
own that 2 acres right in Pflugerville is huge for
huge
me in North problem. Austin. Yeah. So, you know, it happened. I own that, you know, the land
yeah.
now. We went
yeah.
that route. Cool.
Right.
But if I could go back, I might go more information.
Right.
because the amount of money that you make is not determined or hindered by the hours that you work.
Right.
In that way.
Man, that's big. And really, that's big. What I want to point out is technology. In 2019, if you're not utilizing technology in your business, I mean, you're already behind in the game. You have to utilize technology in this business, right? In any business that you're in 2019. So what's something, we talked about what you would do differently. What's something that you overestimated, right? What's something that you went into and was like, man, this is going to be easy.
But cost of business.
Cost of business?
Cost of business.
Overhead?
Overhead.
Ah, man.
Overhead. Boy, like, because I thought I knew how much everything's going to cost. Man, I can do that. That's nothing.
Right.
I can make that. Times that by three.
Ooh.
Whatever you think is going to be your cost of business monthly, times that by three and make sure that your revenue and the funds that you have or your business plan can cover that.
Right.
Because you start out the business and it's just this, but then this happens.
Right.
This happens. And this happens. Oh, but you need that. You need this. What happens when this breaks?
Right.
You know, times and times three.
Yeah.
Cost of business is one thing that I underestimated.
Right.
Significantly.
Right. And I know, it's funny because I was talking to him a couple months ago, and before, because I'm in my office space right now. This is the meeting room. I'm in a shared office space. And I was talking to him, I was like, Bryson, man, I think I need an office space. And he got on my butt. I seen in his eyes, he was like, keep your overhead small. Keep your overhead small. But you know what? I went against the grain. I got me an office space because I think it's going to just multiply my productivity or whatnot. But I see exactly where he's coming from because you know what? The first of the month is around the corner, and they already knocking at my door for the check.
Yeah, yeah.
And sales tax then went up 8%.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go talk to them about that. So my bill went from whatever it was, add another, I think, another $20 to it. But I know But 20 times 12, you know, do the math.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Multiply everything times 12.
I lost my dang access card. They hit me for another $25. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Cost of business,
I'm going to tell you, man.
I'm going to tell you, too. And it's just some advice to everybody. Like, when people don't own a business or run a business, they don't really understand cost of business.
That's true.
So, if I could tell you, you'd appreciate to just keep that down inside of yourself because you know what it takes for your cost of business. So when people are asking questions, why don't you have this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Just do your best to hold it down,
right?
And just answer that question as matter of fact as possible. Don't think about it twice and move on.
Right.
Because people are going to suggest and ask, I've thought about what you thought about probably 10 to 20 times.
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about if somebody, right, who's viewing this and they want to go and find a trainer. Maybe they're not in Pflugerville, Austin. Maybe they're somewhere else, right? They want to get into fitness. What are some red flags that they can be aware of when going to a trainer that's just full of baloney, right?
Yeah.
What's some red flags?
I would look at the social media,
uh-huh,
and I would see if they have more themselves or the athletes.
Mm. Yeah.
Check out and see if they have more themselves or more of the athletes. And then listen to them talk about some stuff, you know. Go and check out their Twitter, you know. You know, are they putting good information out there, positive things? Does it look like they trying to hype some kids up that they might not actually train? Like, you need to know, like, look into it.
Right.
Like, and also talk to some of the other people that actually train with them.
Okay.
Before, you know, or currently train with them. Get their idea of who they are, what they do. And if you can, just pop up there one day.
Yeah.
Just pop up randomly and sit in on a session.
Yeah.
Sit in on a session. Be respectful. You don't tell them, hey, I'm looking for a trainer. I just want to come check out this session.
Right.
Check out more than one session.
Right.
Go look and see if they really know. When you're training, there's no excuse. To me, there's no excuse. Like I said, if you're going to be training athletes or people in general, you don't, you just can't know how to ask someone to do the workout. Mm-hmm. You need to have good communication skills or be working on them. Mm-hmm. Also have ways to modify workouts. Mm-hmm. And then have the tools to serve an athlete when they're injured. Mm-hmm. If you don't have those three things, I don't think that that's a place that you need to train, that you should go to train.
That's big. That's big. Okay. So then let's talk about your network. So when, so right now, you know, you're in it, you're fully in it, you know, you got your own thing going. Is there any clubs or networks that you're a part of that some people can join and be a part of those networks too as well and rub elbows with people that are doing what you're doing?
Oh, like just like in the industry? Like,
yeah, in the industry.
I don't know if I would say that I'm in a network. I would say that you're talking about trainers that actually are doing, that want to do it with. Yeah, exactly. I would say to reach out. Uh-huh. I would say to reach out, because that's what we recently began to do on our Sauce Twins show, is to reach out to other trainers, other strength coaches, other people that are in the industry, and have conversation.
Are they on Facebook? They got Facebook groups?
There are probably some Facebook groups that we're not a part of any. We just, I do a lot of reaching out on IG and Twitter.
Okay.
I actually don't know of like a network of strength coaches that are just on a page together, just, you know, having, that might be something to have.
Yeah, yeah. It would be, man. It would be.
But a lot of the guys are pretty active on IG and Twitter and have openly discussions and conversations about things. And they also have a lot of like podcasts and Sauce Twins and things like that, that where they get on and have conversation and meet people and network. But one place that you can go to, this might not necessarily be a network, would be to go to a strength seminar, or some of these seminars that are held around the country on strength and conditioning or speed or how to train the athlete or what sport specific, you know, and all of these different things. That'll be something to go to.
Right.
Because then you're going to see, you might have, you know, our boy Mike Boyles or Lee Taft or someone like Jason Spray, you know, out there in Tennessee, someone that might be speaking or heading or leading this, but still are cool personal guys that you can chop it up with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you want to have a shoulder to lean on.
Right.
And I mean, myself included, like anybody that, you know, want to get in the industry or just have questions or just want to chop it up or want to stop by, you know, man, we have open arms. We're not trying to hide anything, you know.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. And I vouch for that. You know, they have an open door policy. I mean, you go there, kids are welcome. They have a little area for your kids. And kids, generally, they basically grow up in this gym, you know, and they have a real good culture up there. So I can vouch for that. So so what's next for you, man? What's next?
Man, well, right now, our focus is our online presence when it comes to the training.
Okay.
ATA is like probably the biggest thing that we have going right now. Something we're putting a lot of energy into, and a lot of time that's going to be pushed into ATA, so we can provide the same culture and the same service, but on a different, in a different way, from a different platform.
Okay.
You know, we're really trying to provide that athletic performance service and find the niche for that, like Netflix did with the subscription-based business.
Okay.
It's really what we're trying to do. And we're going to bring, some value to it as well with live Q&As once a month. You know, different like things where we give access or gifts. We're going to bring value to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure that we're still able to provide the culture and the same service that people get in-house, that they can still feel that.
Yeah, right, on right, ATA. Right. That's big. That's big. All right, just to wrap up, where can people find you at?
So if you get on IG, you can type in Sacrifice Training. Find us on there. Twitter is Sacrifice Inc. is our handle. My Facebook, you know, Bryson Tucker of Facebook Sacrifice Training.
Mm-hmm.
Connect@sacrificetraining.com if you guys want to connect and if you have some questions for us. Or, you know, if y'all want to make a drive to Pflugerville, Texas, you can do that too.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Well, there you have it, man. We appreciate your time. You brought a lot of value, man. Brought a lot of value. I hope that y'all learned something. So, yeah, man. Appreciate you coming out, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Thank you.